morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
And happy Emancipation Day. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
My concern is that as a consumer and I go to a shop and I purchase something, I have to pay for the item plus the VAT. So I don't see why these business houses don't want to pay any VAT to government. We have a country to run. And I believe that the VAT system should be policed. It should do more policing of the VAT system. I think they're a little too tardy because some of these business places, when you go into them, they take your money, they put it on the cash till, give you back the change. They don't want to give you no bill. And when you got demand, the bill, they're like, they're going to be a little hesitant because they want to take that money and check in the pocket and don't want to declare it, right?
Yeah.
I don't like that. In relation to the customer service, right, as the lady was talking about, I believe that if she don't want to use the line, use the ATM. And if she don't feel happy ATM, go online. There are other ways to transact business, right? But I believe that I must compliment 3 businesses in Barbados. I don't know if you allow me to call the names.
It depends. My producer would make that decision.
But
compliments are always positive.
I will congratulate
that.
H&B Hardware, Carters, and Abeds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you get proper service from those organizations. I did get proper service, so I can't pull down everybody because class is class and you have to give it where it's due, right? Because these people, like they send the people on customer courses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they do really appreciate you and they know their customers. When you go into the store, they call you by your name. You hear what I tell you? I'm Mr. Abez's desk. Go and give you a little hug when they see you. I make you feel welcome, you know. And these are things that you have to say. All the places and bad. Some of the workers, you know, some of them might be frustrated. And that is why this one put out this sort of thing on the customer. You know what I mean? So all the customer service and bad, better same bad. So I don't want the woman to give the general public, you know, the bad impression. Sometimes the bank does be heavy, right? But for me, I don't like lines, so I can look for alternatives to do my business. So she can't get annoyed. In relation to China and America, I believe that some of the distributors can go directly from China and purchase their goods and skip America. America got buy a lot of raw materials to do certain things down there. And when consumers realize that the price is too expensive in America, they can go there, right? They can venture towards China. Yeah,
okay.
And if China got a big market share in certain parts of the world, the people can gravitate towards China and go directly to them. That's a common sense thing. That's all I have to say.
Thanks so much for your contribution. This is Dr. Brass Stacks. Dr. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Gill.
Good morning, sir.
I would like to comment on the Four Seasons property.
Mm-hmm.
Monday or Tuesday, an editorial was written in the Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And at the conclusion of that editorial, the writer was not sure who are the owners of the Four Seasons property.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some time ago, Dennis and I had a discussion about tourist development in Barbados. And he informed me that the government of Barbados, and by extension, the people of Barbados, are the owners of the Four Seasons property.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you will recall that when the present administration held their first anniversary meeting. Pardon me?
You have some background noise. It's gone away now.
Right.
But it's back again.
When the present administration held their anniversary meeting in Carr Park, they expanded a lot of information about tourist development. They had plans for constructing hotels in Carlisle Park and the Hyatt and all those different things. They even went so far as to compulsorily acquire land adjacent to the proposed Hyatt site so that the Hyatt Hotel can be built there. And there are the owners, or the people of Barbados are the owners of prime tourist estate in Barbados, and nothing is being done at Four Seasons. I find it strange that the government has no plans for the project at Four Seasons. Now, you can build a hotel at Four Seasons as many stories as you like. Nobody would complain about that. So I am offering some suggestions for the project at Four Seasons. One, I'm calling on the government to establish a company to build the project at Four Seasons. This project, this company, will offer shares, and the ordinary Barbadians, the cooperatives, and all the other people who now are refusing to take out government paper can take shares in this company and pool their resources together and get something done at Four Seasons. If a study can be carried out and the present project there is not feasible, they could demolish those buildings and build a 20-story hotel or whatever they care to build there so that the people of Barbados can engage in some economic enfranchisement.
If I may just interrupt for a minute, Lisa, the caller said that I had a discussion with him at some point, and I told him that the Four Seasons project belonged to the government of Barbados. I never said so.
I have a response.
As far as I know, and that's why I said to the caller when we had the conversation, that the previous administration, the Minister of Finance, claimed that it was sold.
It was, yes.
There is a company that was set up called Clearwater Bay Limited. Yes. So there was already a company established. Mm-hmm. What I said was that according to the information that was printed, what the government had to pay back a sizable loan that they had guaranteed for the original project to the IDB. Yes, mm-hmm. Correct. Which was 100 plus million. I think the figure does not come back to me. But I said I couldn't say that it was owned by the government of Barbados. Just had to put that in.
I was waiting for the conclusion of to make that point. But yes, thank you. But continue, sir. If it is owned by government, you're suggesting that there's a establishment of a company and persons be able to get shares, etc. I have a WhatsApper here on Down to Brass Tacks. Little to read, but on this day, on Emancipation Day, it said, "Greetings, the most common form of mental slavery is us accepting money as our currency. This is a global issue where mankind is the only species on earth who depends on money. Regardless of religion, color, class, or political affiliation, the masses have permission to get it, but not to manufacture it. It is a man-made commodity which erodes the value of life itself and has many people struggling to survive while the leaders are busy trying to stabilize their economies. As a Christian, what is God's currency? Does anyone purchase raw materials or ideas or physical ability or strength from God? As far as I know, God's currency is love. And if mankind's economy was based on love as our currency, no one would run out of currency, and mankind would stop raping the earth for profit and live a sustainable lifestyle in tune with the natural abundance." This is Dr. Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Ms. Gill.
Good morning, sir.
How do you do?
Doing well, thanks.
I just want to ask a question. When you purchase a cell phone and you join one of the services, I want to know why it is that these services flood your phone with all of these messages. And I want to know why it is that you go to the bank, you pay for all the services that the banks offer, but then you can see all of these things on your phone and nobody pays you. And especially if you have to either pay a bill or top up a phone. So I want to know why these people are making money. I suppose that the banks and whatever other institutions would pay the phone services, right? Mm-hmm. And they get paid for that. And then they send it to your phone. And they are using your phone. And some of the things that come to your phone, you are not really interested in. So I wonder why it is that they're even using your service free, which is your phone, and then you pay for all of their services. I think this is wrong. Because if you're going to use a man's phone to send out all these messages, I think at the end of the month, you should be paying the man some sort of, if you want to call it a petty fee or something, for using his phone, because he has to top it up or pay a bill. So I believe that the phone company that is charging for whatever rates or how much time that they send out these ads, they should be at least offering the owners of the phone, because some of the things you don't really want to see or you don't want to know. But every minute you hear beep, 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 and your phone is full of nonsense. And
so well,
I don't have, pardon me?
Two things. One, you separate, there are two elements to what you've just shared. One is you're getting unwanted messages from your phone company.
Well, not now, because I don't have a phone now, and I don't know if I'll go back to a cell phone, because I had a phone and it's not working. But from my last experience, I found that was, to me, unreasonable.
Right. So
well, you can continue,
In my instance, if I do get unwanted messages, I usually block the messages. So I don't even suffer from that, because anytime I get any excess calls or messages from anywhere unwarranted, I block the number. And that's how I have treated with that. The second part is you said that the bank, I wasn't clear on, you're saying that the bank uses the phone to send you messages?
I say the banks and like other companies, they mm-hmm. send you messages. But you, anything that you do with the bank, mm-hmm. you have to pay. If you use their tellers, you pay them $2 or $5, whatever it is. Whatever service you use.
Right, you pay for the service.
You pay.
And you're
for
saying
it.
They're using your phone to get a message
exactly.
to you? But that's not really a use of service. They are forwarding a message to you.
But they are
which
paying.
Which you are free to delete, block, or otherwise.
But they pay, do they pay the company?
The messaging, in order to send the messaging out, the company that is doing the marketing for the company is the one who makes the payment.
Thank you. The company who does the marketing.
Yes.
Which involves money. Money.
But bear in mind, your cell phone is the medium on which you get information.
Yes, I understand.
So in other words, when you get a lot of messages on television, you're saying they should pay you for using your television?
Well, even I excuse the TV, but I'm saying a phone. Sometimes your personal use, like just your close friends or acquaintances, and that's it. But so as you go, sometimes beep, 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 beep all the time, and some messages that you don't even know, you don't even want to see.
Fortunately for you, you don't have that phone anymore, so I know you don't have that nuisance disturbing you,
got that
you
right.
anymore. Yes.
You got that right. Mm. You got that right. But I think this time enough that these people pay for the nuisance calls. That's what I think they should do. These companies should pay for the nuisance calls, because you didn't ask for all of these football this place and this thing this place and all kind of thing that you are not really involved in. So all the time you have to be up and blocking this and blocking that. You don't buy a phone to block this and stop this and thing. You buy a phone just to keep acquainted with it. Otherwise, you gotta be keep deleting and blocking this and blocking that. That's an inconvenience, and especially sometimes at night, you want rest and things going off all the time.
Put the phone on silent at night.
No, I don't think I should inconvenience myself. I think
that's
my
an inconvenience.
Yes, because my friends, if I had a phone, and my friends would know that. Listen, do not call me after a certain time.
Okay.
That is my rule. I
turn
don't
off the notifications. Anyway,
thank
everyone
you.
Has their own preferences. You're welcome. This is Down to Brass Tacks, Emancipation Day edition.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, this call I'm making is because the guy just now that spoke of paradise brought it back to my mind. I think it's about time that our government, the government of Barbados, come and publicly explain to the people of Barbados once and for all what is the true status of that paradise property.
I agree.
I remember well, that property was being advertised for sale, and every minute you hear there was a buyer, and then there wasn't a buyer. And then suddenly, a short time before the election,
you heard that it was sold well
ago. I see an individual claiming it while it was being out for sale, right? And the date that it appears that it would have been sold to him was long before it was being advertised. So the government of Barbados need to come and see it exactly. And people need to call on the government to come forward because something has to be done. There are too many strange things that happened in this country, right, leading up to that election. And we need to know what happened with that paradise project. Find that the people know what happened with that paradise project. It was support. The government had put $120 million in it,
yep.
Right? And I remember the bank, I think it was the bank in Trinidad, called in the loan. Right, and I don't know what happened after that, except that this guy suddenly flashed some documents that the building was his while it was being advertised for sale. Mm-hmm. So the government of Barbados need to come forward, right, and say to the people what happened with that building. I am going to be making a call fairly often on this issue. As long as I got a spare time, I can make the same call because they need to come forward and tell us what happened with that property and who it belongs to once and for all.
I agree with you. Yeah, thank you so much. I do agree that those type scenarios need some clarity, and I fully endorse the request. That will fall squarely under the Ministry of Finance, and it is information that the public would like to have, and I don't have any fault with anything you suggested there. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Greetings, Lisa.
Greetings to you, sir.
How are you, ma'am?
I am doing well. I'm thankful.
Good to hear you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Good to hear you.
Today's Emancipation Day, right?
Commemoration of Emancipation Day in a number of countries in the Caribbean.
Right. And if we just want to compare Emancipation Day with a similar day in the Bible, Emancipation Day was some 300 years ago.
It was 18. You mean when we started to celebrate it? When you're talking about when it first started. Remember the colonies in the 1800s after slavery, and then there was the period where there was the indentured servants, they were called. There was a 4-year period for which, after slavery was abolished, they tried something different. And then there were the uprisings, as we rightfully know, in 1837, riots, etc. And then by 1838, then there was that was when it started. I don't know when Barbados started commemorating the full Emancipation Day. They did have the information earlier, so I can go back to it.
Okay.
But go ahead, sir. Go ahead on.
Yeah. And don't say our time now, with this present generation in the 21st century, they don't seem to commemorate it like the early persons when it first started. And there's a comparison I want to make.
Say that again. You don't know.
The present generation now in the 21st century,
mm-hmm.
the new age generation, you know, the teens and the 24 years old, etc.
Millennials?
Right.
Generation X?
Exactly. They don't seem to celebrate or commemorate this Emancipation Day like the persons who were first very close to it.
Right. And where you feel that is so?
No. But you see, I really, that's really the point I'm trying to make. No. Because
you're making a statement.
Yeah.
And then I'll let you go ahead though, because I want to respond. Yeah. And it was 1998 that Barbados started commemorating it.
Oh, 1998. Mm-hmm. That's pretty early, man. But the point I want to make is, right, is that when Jehovah brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, mm-hmm. and he said to them that I'm going to, the Sabbath day, I want, must be a day to you. Mm-hmm. And then he went on to say, remember
yep.
that you were slaves in Egypt, and I brought you out of the land. So I am commanding you to observe this day, the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
So the point I'm trying to make, the first set of Israelites were very close to that.
Yes.
And they took it very serious.
Mm-hmm.
But as time went on and those people died out, mm-hmm. and what we call it now, the new generation of Israelites came in,
mm-hmm.
they started to profane the Sabbath. Because they didn't take it as serious at that time when it was initiated. Because they weren't born yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if this is a similar pattern or attitude is being proclaimed now with the 21st generation youngsters, you know, being that they're not so close to, maybe used to 1998 emancipation, but I mean really very rare about when slavery was abolished.
As in many things, and it was the reason why I asked you why is it so, because well, we do talk about, there's a certain level of blame for every generation that
yeah.
does not maintain either the mores, the traditions, the belief systems, etc. Because the role of this generation is to inculcate those truths, those beliefs, that way of life to the new generation. Not that indoctrinate is a good word, but not that you don't allow them to bring their new technologies or new ways of doing things, but the belief systems, the principles, the all of that needs to be done or has to be done by the previous generation, which would be the older people. The role of the older folk are to teach the younger folk how to live. Not necessarily all of the ways, because as you know, technology has given us new ideas, ways of doing things, and there's something called innovation that is in every generation that does things. Innovation causes us to do things very differently, but the values still should remain the same. And that's incumbent on the present generation to continue to teach the next set of persons coming up.
And not only that, Miss Madam, sometimes foreign practices infiltrate too, you know.
Of course.
Causes them to divert or deviate, as we were saying.
Well, you know, this is a global village now, so when you think about it, there's no word such as foreign these days. But I know
right.
what you mean. I can appreciate for sure.
Yeah,
a different
yeah, yeah.
entity and a different hemisphere may have a different thinking than another hemisphere.
All right. That's just my little piece this morning.
So make sure that you do your part in sharing the message. This is Dr. Brastax.
Hello.
Dr. Brastax, good morning.
Mrs. Gale.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you. Have you read Barbados Today's editorial yet for today?
What's the subject?
Well, it's dealing with governance and government, the
no.
current administration against the last administration. It should be required reading.
This is the one about Barbados is not an economy. It is a...
Yes.
I read that this morning, yes.
Well, the mantra of the last administration was turned on its head.
Did you author that that editorial?
The person could have, the idea could have come out of my head. Imagine that. But listen to me, though. It is required reading from all.
I read it this morning. I read it at breakfast, actually.
Wonderful. But let me tell you something, though. I want to get to this VAT write-off, the millions of dollars that this current administration has written off for the business community. Now, those companies, Ms. Gale, they receive the VAT receipts from the customers who came into their stores, to their shops, and of course enjoyed the custom of their businesses. And the VAT then was supposed to have been sent on to the Consolidated Fund. These store owners and these business people withheld those funds and redirected them to other areas of their choice. They bought the yachts, they bought beach houses, and they bought overseas travel. You think that is fair? To my mind, this government is talking about corruption and all of that dishonesty and all of that talk. But then, for on sending to the Consolidated Fund, and you hold on to those VAT receipts and spend it as you like, and then years after, this administration is going to forgive them for receiving VAT and spending as they like, and now they're going to forgive them and tell them, keep it. It is yours. Well, I believe that all of the customers should get together and form a class action suit and put those business people in court, or the business people should offer those customers shares in their business. You don't believe that? Because the customers invested in their business because they didn't pay any VAT for on sending to government. They invested in their business by paying VAT over the counter. And these business owners hold on to the VAT. Hold on to the VAT and spend it as they like. And now this government is telling them, oh, it's all right. You can keep it. Do as you like with the taxpayers' money. This is remarkable.
I recall this discussion 2 weeks ago when I was on. And shortly after I concluded my time at Brass Tax, I had two pressing matters. One with the conversation with yourself. One was with Roland, and I can't remember the other person, but three of you mentioned the whole issue of the VAT write-offs. And I got in contact with the Ministry of Finance to get some clarity on it because I didn't have all of the facts. And what was shared with me was that it was not specific to value-added tax. It was a VAT write-off for a particular period for all of the taxes. And I see you constantly harping on this value-added tax. And I take your point that it is not fair for people to collect value-added tax and, as you say, buy yachts and do all these things and then don't pay their bills. And then the younger or smaller taxpayers or the poorer people then have to suffer as a result of people and their, you know, lack of what you call good governance as they carry out their business. So understand that this is a scenario where government has written off taxes for a period. You're constantly only speaking about value-added tax.
But, Mrs. Gale, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it is a duck. Taxes are taxes.
Right.
Regardless if they are value-added or consolidated. Because...
And what about the contested... Because the challenge was that... what I understood is that there were certain sets of taxes that were uncollectible and some that were being contested by the, according to you, the same store owners and the same business persons.
Like
and the same value at the tax department.
What was debated in the upper house last evening was the forgiveness of value-added tax, Mrs. Gale.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, and compounding that, on top of that, they reduced corporation tax from 35% down to between 1 and 5%.
From 2019.
This is iniquitous, man. And in the meantime, slaughtering middle class and working class people with excessive and onerous taxation while forgiving the business class who could afford to pay the taxes. Because, and as a matter of fact, in the case of the VAT, because I'm going back to the VAT, it is not even a tax on their resources. This is a tax that they collected from the customers for on sending to the Consolidated Fund. So it is not a tax that they have to go and scratch their head and find a way and pay this tax. This tax was paid to you to pass on to the government, and you kept it. I know this government telling you keep it, do as you like with it. Man, this is cannot be right, Mrs. Gale. Cannot be right in this world or the world to come.
I thank you too. And this is a clarion call. Not only he's making the point, it is incumbent on persons who owe taxes to pay taxes. Simple and as that. When a service is done for you, you pay the money. There is this belief that when it is government money that some people don't have to pay back. why are we thinking that way? We need to improve our posture, our thinking, and pay our bills. The seeds that you sow, you will reap, folks. Don't you know that? What may not happen in this generation may happen in another generation. Do the acts that your children and your children's children will have a good life.